song like that, and after the service we had, I could just read a little portion of the Word of God and we'd all go home. No, we wouldn't. I'd lose my support. So much for that $50 raise. Oh, it's great to see you folks again and see this church. You know, there's not a church like Berean Baptist Church. There's not. You know, in the Old Testament, the New Testament there in the book of Acts talks about the church at Berea and talks about how they were more diligent and that they searched the Word of God. So this church is very aptly named. I've always thought that. I've always said that. Under Brother Gray and now under your pastor here, I'm awed every time I come back and just a little bit nervous, or as we say down in Texas, nervous. You come back here and the music is just excellent, always excellent. And then the preaching of the Word of God. And so I just feel like a little brown paper bag missionary when I come back. You know what a brown paper bag missionary is. Y'all know what that is? You know, when we were kids, you had those who carried their lunchbox to school, right? With the nice, lunchbox and the thermos and everything. Well, my parents, my dad was a preacher and a Baptist preacher, and we were so poor, I never got a lunchbox. I just carried the brown paper bag with the peanut butter sandwich inside. And that's a brown paper bag missionary. I'm not highfalutin. You know, we were just at the meeting there in Owosso, Oklahoma, the Batswell Fellowship meeting, and I saw some highfalutin missionaries there, and pastors and everything else, and kind of felt a little bit small, but you know what? God doesn't look upon us that way, He looks upon our faithfulness. That's what He does. He looks on our faithfulness and doing what He's commanded. And I got a long way to go. I'm telling you, I haven't arrived. I've got a long way to go. But I just thank God that He's never forsaken me. And even in my time, my low times, He's been right there with me and lifting me up. My goal is that one day when I see Him face to face, He will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And then any crown that I might receive, that I'll give back to Him. That's my goal. I don't know, you saw what God has done here, okay? And we're hoping and praying that within the next couple of years, we'll be able to turn the church over lock, stock, and barrel. The church over to make it an autonomous church, and that church vote in Valentin to be the new pastor of the church. He's doing a great job. I mean, he's a go-getter. Young guy, making me feel worn down, like that Ever Ready Bunny. Now, I don't feel like that anymore. I'm getting a lot of senior moments lately. I'll tell you, though, he's doing a great job. And I'm almost beginning to feel a little bit neglected. I'm still the pastor. But I'm almost feeling a little bit neglected because of the fact that he's doing such a great job. But that's my job. My job is to get myself out of a job. In that church in regards. And if the Lord permits, gives my wife and I good health, gives Teresa and me a good health, we'd like to go and see if the Lord allows us to start a third one for His honor and glory again. But that's never been done that I know of by a missionary in Spain of any group. If God permits that, that's to His honor and glory. I like the number three, like the Trinity. And I like the number three. So if at least we can establish one more church before He puts us up on the shelf. Or no, He wouldn't put me on the shelf. I don't want to be put on the shelf. But we have to reduce maybe a little bit of our, because we don't have the same energy or the health. I'd like to do that. So y'all pray for that, would you? Would you pray for us that as we go back, that the transition will be smooth to turn that church over to Valentin and Laura Lucacci there. And the folks love them. Again, I'm getting a little jealous. I'm trying not to, all right? But they love them. They love us too, okay? They love us too. But, it's just a pastor thing. And But we'll have to one day turn it over. And when we turned over the church there in Leganés, it was like pulling our skin off. It was very, very difficult. The day we did that in September of 2011, there were so many tears in that church. I don't think I've cried like that in a long time. And because those people loved us, and they still do. We go back there, and it's just like when you come here, you know, you just, everybody wants to say hello to you, you know, and hug you and everything. And we try to get away. We had to get back to Palencia when we were approving, when we were ordaining Valentin. And it was 9 o'clock at night. We had a 3-hour trip to get back to Palencia for Sunday morning. And we just couldn't get away from them. And it's not because of us. You know, I'm the truth of the matter is that, well, I'll tell you this. You know, some people say, well, why do you have that beard? Well, I had a lady there told me it covers up a little bit of the ugliness, you know. I'm serious. She told me when I cut it off one time, it covers up the ugliness. And folks, listen, it's just not that. It's the love of God. Which we're going to talk about that here a little bit tonight. It's the God's love. It's the agape. It's that love that is between the brethren that God puts in our hearts. And it's that love for the lost that helps us to continue on. Leaving behind family, our grandchildren, our children, and going back over there again. Because God has put that calling in our hearts, in both of us. And that love to go back and to... I miss our people. I wish we could be in two places at one time. If Pastor, if you find something at Sears Roebuck that helps you to be in two places at one time, let me know about it and I'll buy it. Because I'd love to be over there and I'd love to be here. But God has called us to come back now. We have to be back 6 months. The law requires that every 5 years we have to be gone 6 consecutive months. Or not, we have to start paying Social Security and taxes over there as well. And so we're here till March, but then we have to get back the first week of March because our residence visa expires the second week of March, and we have to renew that before it expires. Y'all pray for that. And there's one other prayer request I had. You remember the lady, her name was Pilar. Well, that's Juan and Pilar. Back in October, his parents came from Peru to visit them in Spain. They were there for a month. And I had the privilege. His father is a retired policeman, and I had the privilege of leading both his father and his mother to the Lord. And it was like the Sunday before, and couldn't baptize them. They went back to Peru and found a good church there and got baptized, and they're serving faithfully in the church there. The first time they'd ever heard the gospel, and they got saved, gloriously saved. And now her parents have come over. They flew in, I think, 2 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken. Y'all pray for her parents. Their names are Julio and Malena. Julio and Malena, Pilar just had a hysterectomy because of cancer. And y'all pray for her. She's recuperating from that, and her parents have come at the same time. But she says, Pastor, I wish you were here because my parents need to be saved, and I want them to get saved. And I said, well, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit's still here. The Word of God is still here. Valentin is there. And so y'all pray for her parents, Julio and Malena, that they would get saved. They're only going to be here another 2 or 3 weeks before they go back to Peru. Okay? And I don't know if there's anything else. Any other questions you may have, again, back there in the back. Just keep praying for Spain. Thank you for your support. Thank you for that $1,000 you folks sent us for that building. You see the results. You know, it may not look like much to you, but to us over there, it's a lot. It's a lot. 2,000 square foot building is a third of the size of your auditorium, maybe a little bit bigger, maybe. And it's not very big when you talk about Americans, American size. But when it's in Spain, it's a good size building. And so we're glad the Lord has allowed us to do that. And we have a lot more to do. They're continuing to work on it in my absence. And so y'all continue to pray for the Faith Baptist Church of Palencia, that the Lord will bless, that we'll be able to see the church continue to grow. We've already had about 4 or 5 visitors since we've moved into the building just this past summer. And y'all continue to pray for our church there. I appreciate it very much. And thank you so much for your faithful support. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians, the second epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And if you wouldn't mind, please let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians 2, 14. You know that this is the second letter, possibly the third letter actually, that Paul wrote. The second letter we have in the Word of God that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And you probably know that the first letter that was written a letter of reproval, I think that's the word in English, to reprimand that church for their sin. We'll be talking about that in a minute. The second letter is more of a letter of commendation, and you'll see that here in just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Verse 15 is the key and the title of the message tonight. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, as we come to you this evening, we first of all want to praise your holy name for who you are, for the privilege as your children to call you Abba, Father. Oh, Father, we thank you for the salvation we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to work hand in hand with him, and through the power of your Holy Spirit to preach the Word of God to the lost souls in this world, to baptize them into a local independent Baptist church, and to teach them all things, obeying thereby the Great Commission. Thank you for this great church. Oh, Father, thank you for the pastor. Thank you, Father, for the leaders of this church, for the faithful folks that are here tonight. And, oh, God, I pray for an anointing of thy Holy Spirit upon your servant tonight, that, Father, the words that I preach would be not only a blessing, but they would be your words, and that your Spirit would work on our hearts. Oh, Father, for him or her that is here tonight, that does not know Christ as their Savior, may tonight be the night when they come to know Christ, when they become to repent of their sins and trust Jesus Christ as their only Savior. Father, I pray for we who are born-again believers, the true Christians, those who, Father, are your children, that we may be inspired by the message of your word, not the message, my message, but the message of your word tonight, to be that sweet savor unto you in Christ, in whose name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So as I mentioned, the context of this tonight is that this is the second letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to this church. The first letter had been written approximately a year earlier, was a letter of reproof to a church that had been deceived by the flesh and by Satan, had fallen into many grievous sins. You know about those, many of you. You read it there in the first book, the first letter. Sins of fornication, of divisions, of false doctrine, and a total lack of growth in the spiritual truth in the Word of God. In fact, they got to such a low that Paul calls them babies in chapter 3 of the first epistle. Not capable of receiving sound doctrine. You know what this sounds like? We as missionaries, I know I'm preaching to the choir here tonight, but we as missionaries, as we travel across this nation, we realize that the churches here in America are becoming more and more and more every time like the church of Corinth. Filled with fornication, filled with false doctrine, filled with divisions, filled with superficial worship, music that does not honor and glorify God. Come as you are. It's not the house of God, it's the house of a show. What is going on in our nation? The salt is losing its savor. And I'm afraid that our nation is suffering because of that and being punished because of that, and we see it here just recently. And I'm afraid that as we go into our churches and as we talk to folks, that they don't know the Word of God. And they're what Paul calls babies. And I'm talking about people who have professed Christ for years. But this second letter now, written approximately a year later, the tone of the Apostle Paul had made a complete 180. And he commends them and the spiritual changes that had been reported to him. I want you to look at something here. Hold your finger right there in 2 Corinthians. But look back in 1 Corinthians, that chapter 3 I was talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look in verse 2. Now this is interesting. This is chapter 3, verse 2. He says, I fed you with milk, 1 Corinthians 3, 2, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal, for as there's among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 3, 2. I saw this the other day when I was preparing this message, and I said, this is really cool. Can you say that still? Cool? Okay. Chapter 3, verse 2, Paul writes, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. What a difference. What a difference that a year makes. You know? I mean, here we have the Apostle Paul in one hand reproving the church for their carnality, for their divisions, for their lack of knowledge of the Word of God, for false doctrine. And then he says, you are our epistles written in our heart. The missionary write back, the pastor, missionary writing back to this church. Well, you see, when I read this the other day, I got, y'all know what WhatsApp is? Some people do. Some people don't. You see, outside of the United States, it's WhatsApp, which is like Instagram, all right? Our church has a group called WhatsApp, and it's a chat, all right? And the pastor gets on there, and everybody, we get on there, and we pray for each other and everything, and it's everybody together. And on WhatsApp, I sent them on a Sunday morning. I think it was last Sunday. I sent them on Sunday morning these verses. You are our epistle, written on our hearts. And other verses as well, because that's my family back there. There in Spain. That's my family. Those are my loved ones. Those are my kids. Those are my grandkids. We've had to leave our children and grandchildren over here, and it's tough every time we leave and get in the plane and leave our children behind. But God has blessed us with so many children and grandchildren. And children, people that we've led to the Lord and baptized and married and been there when their children were born and dedicated their children to the Lord and seen grow in the faith and be with them in their trials and tribulations. And there are our epistles written in our heart. And there have been times when we've had to reprove. There have been times we've had to practice church discipline. You know, they don't practice church discipline anymore. But we practice church discipline. Church discipline not to punish, church discipline to recuperate. And they are our epistle written in our hearts. And Paul now writes back to this church, and instead of reproving them, now he has in this letter some counsel. He has a little bit of reproof. But in the greatest part of the letter is a letter of commendation, congratulating them and getting rid of sin. And even, we're going to see here tonight, even telling them to love the brother that had fallen into fornication. Totally different tone. The purpose of this letter is not to reprove, to commend the church and encourage them in the progress they'd made over the past year. He commends them in the victories in the fight against Satan. And he writes in chapter 2, verse 15, as we mentioned earlier, that they had become a sweet savor. They had become a sweet aroma, a sweet perfume of Christ unto God. So how is it possible they had passed from carnal babies to become a sweet savor unto God? Well, it's obvious that among all the baby carnal Christians in the church of Corinth, there was a faithful remnant who had helped to lead the rest of the church out of the darkness of carnality into the light of the truth of Christ. We don't have time to look there now, but you look back in chapter 16, verses 15, 23, and there, and you will see three men, Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it in English, but their names weren't English anyway. But those three men and their families, Paul says, they had addicted themselves to the ministry. And he said, defile people like that. That was the very last words of that first letter. Well, obviously, they paid attention. And obviously, those three men were inspired, and their families were inspired to lead that church out of the darkness of sin into the light of the truth of the Word of God. So how can we learn from their example? Again, I know tonight, preacher, I'm preaching to the choir. But I also know that there are sinners in the choir. Now, if Fred was here tonight, he'd probably say, no, Bill, there's not. But there are. And Fred is a cheat. No, no, I don't say that. We have sinners in this church. Every one of us, none of us, I should say, are on a spiritual plane, even as the Apostle Paul. And even the Apostle Paul, when he was dying, even the Apostle Paul said, bring me the word. I need the word. Anybody here tonight say, I don't need the word of God. I don't need to be preached to every Sunday. I don't need to read the word of God every day, open it up and read it for my time of devotion with God. Anybody like that? There was a fellow one time who came to our church there in Leganés, and had another missionary that was there in our church. And he came to our church, and he came from a church that was like a Southern Baptist church, another town over. And he came and visited us, and he was visiting several Sundays, and we noticed that he didn't have a Bible with him. We had to loan him a Bible. And he said he'd been saved for many years. And so this other missionary asked him, he says, well, wait a minute here. He says, well, where's your Bible? And he says, oh, I don't need it anymore. I don't know about you, but I see every day I need it more and more and more. So how can we learn from the example of this church? You got things in your life, right? So do I. How can we become and stay a sweet savor of Christ unto God? How can you become that sweet smell when God looks upon you and what you are as a child of God? Well, first of all, we must be, and this is very important, of Christ. We must be of Christ. You notice there in verse 15, it says a sweet savor of Christ. And now, folks, I want you to know I'm Baptist to the core. In fact, preacher, I was born in a Southern Baptist hospital in New Orleans. See, I was born a Baptist, all right? And Lord willing, I'm going to die as a Baptist. And the Lord's going to put me on the Baptist side of heaven. But it's not a sweet savor of the Baptist. It's not a sweet savor of your pastor. It's a sweet savor of Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10, look what it says there. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave it I in the person of Christ. Look in verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Look in verse 14. Now, thanks be in God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Look in verse 17. But as of God, verse 17, in sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. You think Paul believed in Christ? John 14, 6, what does that say there? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. You know, Jesus was narrow-minded. You know, they say, you Baptists, you're narrow-minded when it's only through Christ. Well, let me tell you something. I'm only saying what Jesus said, so that's fine enough for me. I don't remember anybody else being raised from the dead, crucified on the cross and raised from the dead. Only Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and life. It's Jesus. We must be of Christ. 1 Corinthians 16, 22 says, if any man... Oh, you got to read this. Hold on. I read this the other day. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. I'm reading through the New Testament and my devotion time, and I read this verse, and it just jumped out at me. I don't think I've ever remember reading it before, although I have. 1 Corinthians 16, 22, but that's the word of God. It's quick and powerful, right? Verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Cursed! Do you love Christ? Because if you don't, God says you're cursed. Let him be cursed. And then right after that it says, Maranatha, Jesus is coming soon. Amen? I tell you what, you look at the news, I'm more and more convinced Jesus is coming soon. And I'm more convinced that we need to love more and more Jesus Christ. We must be of Christ. And of course, that's talking about salvation. It's only through Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, folks, it's not just talking about being saved. It's talking about working in our salvation. It's talking about living our salvation. We must be of Christ. And folks must see Christ in us, the living hope. We must be of Christ. He is the first and the last. We must be of Christ. Secondly, if we want to be that sweet savor, we must have the love of God in us. We must have the love of God in us. Look in chapter 2, verse 4. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, Paul writes, I wrote unto you with many tears. That first letter. Much affliction, anguish of heart. Paul didn't write that letter like sometimes we fundamental preachers do, fundamental Baptist preachers do, to snarl and you are sinners. He wrote it out of anguish of heart. And why? Because these folks he had led to Christ. He had seen them baptize some of them, and he'd seen them fall into sin, and his heart was broken. You see your brother in sin, and you ridicule him, you gossip about him, you run him down, take the beam out of your eye. And not only that, but you are putting yourself above Christ. You're putting yourself above the Apostle Paul. The love that they had for those Christians. We Christians, we're the first one to trample on the wounded child of God. But not Christ, not Paul. Out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Oh, pastor and pastors, we need to love our people. Some people aren't very lovable, let's just be honest. But we need to love our people. And over there in our church in Palenthia, we have a few like that. But the great majority, it's just so easy to love them. Why? Because God's put that love in my heart for them. We need to love like Paul loved that church. Even that church that it was in that horrible darkness of sin. Paul loved them. Look in chapter 2, verse 8. And he didn't just love Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. But look what he says in verse 6. He says, verse 5, but if it caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I might overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him. Forgive him. And comfort him. Comfort him. Lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Church discipline is not meant to punish. Read chapter 12 of Hebrews. God punishes us and disciplines us, but it's because he loves us. In verse 8, excuse me, Paul says, wherefore I beseech you, I beg you that ye would confirm your love toward this sinner, toward him. Possibly it was the one who was with his father's wife, his stepmother. I don't know. But what we see here is that Paul says, you need to love him. You need to love him. And folks, that's what we've got to do. And that starts with loving the lost. You know, sometimes it's really hard to love some folks. I'm talking about the lost. I'm really praying that the Lord will help me on this because it's really hard for me. We have 4% Muslims in Spain. And they blew up trains in 2004, trains that we used to go back and forth to camp on. And this police surrounded them a half a mile from our house and they blew themselves to pieces. A half a mile from our house is where they lived, the terrorists did, the Muslim terrorists. And then we just had what happened up in Barcelona as well. You saw that. But it really touched home with us when a young couple, that you saw them here on the David and Yvette, that they were in a church. They were Christians in a church down south. And I really can't go into all the details and tell you names and everything because What happened is that they were had a neighbor down below, and they're surrounded by Muslims. They have a mosque right down by their street there. And the neighbor came up one day, and he wanted to see if the television, he said the television wasn't working, but it was an excuse to get in the house. And they started talking about things, and he started talking about the bad things that come on television, you know. And then this Muslim man, and I can't be explicit about it, but this Muslim man said, "You have three daughters. What's your problem? Allah has not blessed you." And he says, "I'll take care of that for you. I'll be with your wife." And he said, "No, you won't. There's the door." And he pulled out a knife, a big knife. And he says, "I will." And he called a neighbor over. The neighbor came over, and they put him down on the ground, and they were blessed, but they did not get cut, not get harmed. The police came. They had to give him tranquilizers to this. I mean, he was crazy, but that's not the issue. The issue is that he said, "My cousins and my friends in my mosque down here, they're going to take care of me." So from that day, well, it was just 2 days before they moved up with us. The police, the national police, told them that we can't keep this man more than 3 days. PC. And we can't keep him more than 3 days. So they told them that, listen, it'd be best if you leave the city for a while anyway. Well, they left. But before they left, there were Muslims on every corner of their street watching them. They came down to get in their car, and there was a Muslim in front and a Muslim behind. And so the police told them to leave. So they did. They had someone come in and take all their goods out of their house. And, I mean, take everything out of their apartment they owned. And they had to move it through different cities so to throw them off. And they moved up to our city and lived 3 weeks with us. They're three little girls, and they're members of our church now, but they're very, very careful about letting, through internet, people know where they live now. I tell you what, and it's hard for them too to love Muslims. When you see what they've done here in this country, when you see what they're doing around the world, it's hard. But folks, let me tell you something, they have a soul too. And do you realize that there are more Muslims that have come to Christ since September the 11th than ever before? What they need is Christ. And you and I need to tell them about Christ. And we need to ask God to give us a love in our heart for their souls. Of course, we hate what they do. I hate their religion. But we need to love the souls. Paul says here, that we need to confirm our love toward each other and toward the lost. The two greatest commandments, love God and love thy neighbor. John chapter 13, verse 35 says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have correct doctrine." If ye have love one to another. Now, we need to love and in truth, okay? But that love is supreme. It's the greatest of faith, love. John chapter 5, verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." It twists us. We can't do anything else because of the love of Christ. You're afraid of your neighbor ridiculing you? You're afraid to give that money in the offering plate for the missionary? You're afraid to go pass out tracts to tell others about Christ? Well, it's because you don't have the love of Christ constraining you. We need that love for the lost. And then we need that love for each other, church. I'm sure this is not happening to Berean Baptist Church, but are there folks maybe in the past where one person sat over here and one person sat over there because of things in the past, you don't talk to each other? That's not the love of Christ. We need to have that love one for another. The love of Christ constraineth us. So we must be of Christ. We must have the love of God in us. And thirdly, we must be obedient unto God. John chapter 14, 15, "If you love me," what? "Keep my commandments." In chapter 2 here in verse 9, Paul writes to them, says, "This end did I write," that first letter, "and now, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things." Paul says, "I wrote to you, reproving you of your sin, to see if you're going to be obedient and obey." Paul here writes, praise God you have. We need to be obedient. If we want God to, if we want to be a sweet smell in the nostrils of God, we need to be obedient. Because if we're not obedient to His commandments, to His word, then we don't love Him. We don't please Him. Obedient, especially as a missionary, to the last great command of Christ, the Great Commission, to be obedient. Are we obedient? Are we sending forth the missionaries? I know you folks are. Continue to do that. Continue to be faithful. Are you being obedient to your neighbor to tell them of Christ? We must be obedient to God, and there are many other things, but we don't have time. Let's go on to the fourth point. We must be of Christ. We must have the love of God in us. We must be obedient unto God. And number four, we must be faithful in the calling. We must be faithful. Chapter 2, verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. You see, this church had not only forsaken that sin, but they had begun to be a testimony. And Paul says, you are being a testimony in every place, sweet savor of God in every place. In verses 15 and 16, Paul talks about being a sweet savor to those who are lost and become saved, a savor of life, and those who are lost and reject Christ, a savor of death. What kind of savor are you? What kind of smell are you to those around you? What kind of testimony do you have? Are you being faithful to your calling? We're talking about, yes, the Great Commission, but you are a child of God. Are you being faithful as a child of God? Is your testimony is what behooves a child of God? Or do your neighbors look at you and see your temper, see that you fly off the handle, see that every once in a while a little word comes out here and maybe this or other things and the job or whatever? I was down in Gainesville there, and a friend of mine that I've known, he was in my young marriage class in 1985, and he surrendered to the ministry, and he's had some physical problems, and he's had to semi-retire at a young age. But in a Sunday school class, he admitted, he confessed. He said where he worked that the other day, the boss complained about something that he had done, or he thought he had done, and he was innocent. He was innocent, totally innocent of it. And he blew a stack. I mean, he just had a little temper tantrum right there in front of everybody. And he said, I realized after that I lost my temper and I lost my testimony. He said, I had been witnessing to two men that they were in that office there, and those two men I may never now win to Christ. Why? Because I was offended, even though I was right. He did not portray Christ. We need to understand that we are ambassadors for Christ. We understand that we're reconcilers for Christ. Many people will never know another Bible unless we reveal the Word of God to them. We are the ambassadors for Christ. In chapter 5, we won't look there right now, but in verses 19 through 20, it tells that we are reconcilers, reconciling people to Christ, to God for Christ. So we must be faithful, folks. We need to be faithful, starting off with our own walk with the Lord. We need to be faithful in our walk in our communities. We need to be faithful in our giving so others may go in our place to all the world. We must be faithful in the calling. And lastly, number 5, we must be of Christ. We must have the love of God in us. We must be obedient unto God. We must be faithful in the calling. And with fear and trembling, I say this because we Baptists, we don't talk much about this. We must walk in the Spirit of God. I don't agree with everything, I don't agree with everything. I don't agree with all my preaching, you know, so. But John MacArthur has a series of messages on whatever happened to the Holy Spirit. And he starts off talking about when he first came out of the college, Bible college, and became an evangelist, that people would ask him all the time, would you preach on us about the Holy Spirit? But then this group came up called Charismatics, Pentecostals. And I'm not going to talk bad about them, okay? But this group came up and somehow, somewhere, we Baptists began to think that it was bad to talk about the Holy Spirit. I was in camp here several years back, and one of the missionaries came up to me, and well, there was a missionary got up and preached, and he happened to mention the Holy Spirit about five or six times. And one guy said to me, he says, I liked his preaching, but I don't care so much about all of his preaching about the Holy Spirit. I said, wait a minute here. Jesus spent three chapters in John preparing his disciples, talking, telling them that I must go, but another will come in my place, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. You know what the problem is with me, many of us independent fundamental narrow piece of literature Baptist? Is that we're dependent upon how we dress, how we talk, where we go, where we don't go for our spirituality. Right. I had to learn that. I had to learn that I need to walk in the Spirit. That's Bible. Be filled with the Spirit. That's Bible. And not be afraid of those who are abusing the Spirit of God. We must walk in the Spirit. Look in chapter 3, verse 3. We've read verse 2 there. Your epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Look at verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Ye are of Christ. We begin and end with Christ. But the Holy Spirit of God was sent in His stead. And He is to teach us all things about Christ. And He is to lift up Christ. And Christ must have the preeminence. But we are not to ignore the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. To the contrary, we need to be aware of His wooing. We need to be aware of when He reproves us of sin. We need to be aware when he gives us the power. The power was given in the Great Commission in Matthew 28 as well as in Acts 1 for the purpose of being a witness. Now, Pastor, please, don't take away that $50, but I've had the gift of languages. Not tongues. The gift of languages. I'm going to tell you this, okay, so that you understand. When we first got to Spain, I went to camp. And I was green. I didn't know how to ask where the restroom was or anything, you know, I mean. But about 6 months after there, I got into the language. Because I knew that if I was going to do anything, I had to learn Spanish. You know, in Spain, we speak Spanish. In America, we speak English. Well, some of us do. Down in Texas, they speak Texican. But so, we were there at camp, and it was the last meeting of the last week. And this man, 73-year-old man, came forward at the invitation time, as well as others. And I was about the only one left. And I was a green missionary. Been in Spain maybe a year. Not even that much. And so Levon Waters said, pointed to me and said, take this man out. Me? It's okay. So I grabbed my Bible in Spanish that I could barely read, and I took that man off. We went down to the first cabin. I opened up my Bible to the verses, the plan of salvation, and began reading and explaining. And folks, listen, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit. To loose my tongue, to speak in a known tongue, that power that is promised to those who preach and teach His word, who testify for Him. It is promised to us, and it is given to us. And it's not just to preachers and pastors, preachers and missionaries. It is to all children of God. The Great Commission was given to the local church. Wow. I led that man to the Lord. Whew! I tell you what, that lasted me for many years of drought. But it was the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, folks, we do too much in the flesh. Too much in the flesh. And we need to walk in the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We need to maintain our temple clean. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost within you, which ye have of God? You're not your own, for you bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. and take time to read John 14, 15, 16. Read those verses about what God says about the Holy Spirit, what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. Become more aware of His moving in your life, of that still small voice to walk in the Spirit. Well, I must conclude. Let me see here now. We must be of Christ. We must have the love of God in us. We must be obedient unto God. We must be faithful in the calling. And we must walk in the Spirit. You've seen over there in Philippians chapter 4, right? Where that offering that they gave, the churches of Macedonia, the church of Philippi, Paul says it was a sweet smell. I'm trying to say it in English now. I had it memorized, but my English is getting confounded with my Spanish. But that offering, sweet smell, acceptable unto God. God says, I love it. I love you, and I love what you're doing. Let's read again verses 14 and 15. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Don't you want to triumph in Jesus Christ? And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Now here's the question tonight. I know it sounds kind of crude, but how do you smell to God? How do you smell to God? Are you an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God? I thank God for Berean Baptist Church. And I thank God for the decades that this church has stood on the Word of God. The decades that this church has preached to this community and brought folks in and been saved and baptized, like I believe you're going to have tonight. I thank God for this church, which has sent missionaries all around the world to go in your place. Truly, Berean Baptist Church, God smells and says, a good church. But see, the church is made up of you. Each one, individual one of us, who are born again, baptized believers, members of this church. And my question to you tonight is, how do you smell to God? Are you contributing to that sweet savor here in Berean Baptist Church? Or do you stink a little bit? You know what I mean? And now in Texas there, we lived in a little house there, in a little farmhouse in the middle of a pasture. And those cows came around, and I tell you, sometimes I'm glad I'm not a cowboy. Boots that were there, I mean, they step in it, you know what I mean? And it's so good because they had a little bit of perfume stuff, and the water smelled bad too. Smelled of sulfur. Y'all seen that, right? And they had this peppermint stuff that smelled good. You know, you sprayed in the water. You know, it smelled good. Oh, that was so good. But I'm wondering if that's sometimes the same thing like with God. He loves you. You're His child. But one day will He say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Will He say that to you one day? I pray so. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as the pastor comes? I just want to encourage you tonight to be that sweet savor of Christ unto God. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your patience. Thank you that patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And I thank you, Father, for this pastor and this church, for the love that they've had over the years, for the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, for their obedience of the great command. But Father, may there be one here tonight that is not a child of yours. May he realize his need for the Savior tonight. And for we children of Christ, may we realize, Father, that although thou lovest us, nevertheless, we need to check up on our life. We need to go through these things and see if we have that love. See if we are of Christ. See if we're obedient. See if we're faithful to the calling. See if we're walking in the Spirit. We need to look at that report card. And Father, come to you confessing that sin and asking you, Father, to lift us up out of the miry clay, to put us back on the rock, and to cause us to walk, Father, where we would be pleasing to thy sight. In the name of your Son, I pray. Amen.
483, we're going to sing I Surrender All. Brother Brian's going to lead us. This will be a great opportunity to take whatever the Lord has spoken. It's a good question. How do you smell before the Lord? Is it a sweet savor? You want to do business with God tonight? You want to worship Him as we sing? 483. Come on, let's go or sing with us, whatever. As the Lord would speak to your heart tonight, you do business with Him. What about you tonight? Need somebody to pray with you? We'll be glad to do that. If the Lord has spoken in some way tonight.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow, worthy pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. Play another verse. If the Lord's dealt with your heart tonight, come forward, discuss it with Him, pray with Him.